it's unpronounceable.
Unpronounceable.
Can you say it?
Silence. Radio silence.
It's MJ and AC. And Tilda.
Hi, if you haven't had enough of me today.
Yeah. And baby Kieran might chime in. We're here for the next half hour just to yak, about language and expressing gender through language and the issues with other structures such as grammar and people's shared understandings while navigating that. And it's pretty cool to be yakking about that after some great discussions about other pretty full-on oppressive systems with the prison system and also the health system and people navigating through that. So a bit more lighthearted maybe, but still kind of on theme. So,
Let's bust this binary broadcast. Wait, we're not a binary broadcast. We're the opposite of that.
We're an analog broadcast.
It's very analog. Yeah. If anyone's been into the studio, it is a very analog studio. We're not binary at all here.
100110 So just to situate us, I don't know if people can imagine, but we're in a studio festooned by streamers. It's really beautiful, pink and blue.
You have to kind of go through a rainbow shower to get into the studio. Yeah. I feel like we've really taken over the space.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So we were talking a bit about, I guess, how language works, maybe English and other languages, and also kind of creative languages as well, such as in fiction and so forth. But maybe I could kick over to you, AC, because you mentioned a couple of things you've been reading.
Yeah, I mean, I when you first suggested this broadcast, it really struck for me. I think a lot of my understandings and just how I interact with the world happens through fiction and a lot of stuff that I consume and a lot of stuff that I write and things. That's how I understand myself and how I relate to the world. And so, yeah, I started thinking about fiction and gender. And so most recently it was reading this book called Genderqueer by a comic book by Maya Kobabe. And in that book it's a person's autobiographical journey to exploring their gender and coming to terms with being a genderqueer person. He uses E, ear, M pronouns. And it really resonated for me. I think it's a great way to have that sort of agender, non-gendered approach to language. But I just never hear anyone using them.
Yeah. So maybe it'd be cool to maybe have a round of what pronouns we use and how we came to choose them if people want to talk about that.
I'll go ahead. Yeah. So I use she, her pronouns. And I haven't been on a very long journey with that. I kind of went from he, him to like they, them for a while. And then I think I really settled in the she, her once I heard it a few times and just had, you know, gender euphoria. I was like, oh, this feels fucking great. This is, that's kind of where I've landed. But yeah, I think using the they, them in the while when I was like questioning my gender and saying, oh, maybe I'm not entirely cisgender, was really helpful in just giving me like the space to kind of say like maybe, and there's some ambiguity there. And then yeah, to start experimenting with things. I think like going through the they them was a really useful thing in figuring out how I like to be referred to.
Generally I use they them pronouns, and I feel like that's the kind of default as a non-binary person. I think particularly in Nam in Melbourne in this time, that's, if you're non-binary, then, I mean, obviously there is also people who use she, her and he, him if they're non-binary, but a lot of people use they, them. Yeah, and I'm just, yeah, as I say, there's this whole other world of more pronouns that are out there that I really want to explore, and yeah.
It's kind of interesting how they, them is kind of turning into a noun sometimes, like, you know, like talking about the they thems, like,
yeah,
you know, they are a they them, you know, like instead of saying a non-binary person, it's kind of almost a gender in itself sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned just the location that we're sort of discussing language within, because obviously we're broadcasting from Wurundjeri land, and that's another layer, you know, of colonial history on top would be the language, kind of colonization of language. And I think, yeah, it's all in a context, isn't it? And this is the context that we're building our own language within.
Yeah, yeah. The colonial context.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gender is just like such this massive hammer that's used as part of colonization to smash people's identity into shape, the shape that is expected of a, you know, English colony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, myself, I think I'm kind of still not, I don't know if I'll ever be settled. I don't know if anyone will be settled. You know, identity is fluid, I think, and we might have lots of different phases that we go through. But for myself, I've probably settled on any pronouns. That's sort of what I'm at. Even my name, I'm kind of like any name. And I initially kind of, it's hard for me to tell because I started off accepting she pronouns because I was born in a female body and people, you know, refer to she. And
female body, quotation marks.
Yeah, sorry. I'm feeding a baby, couldn't even do the air quotes.
I know. So, and on radio, they can't hear air quotes anyway, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sorry, no.
You're doing an amazing job. Yeah.
I don't know. But I think, it sort of heckled with me, you know, and it was really interesting kind of going through pregnancy and childbirth and the whole like new parenthood with like, you know, moms groups and like, I don't know why I did an American accent there, but like, it always becomes an O, you know, in those sort of contexts, like, but like soccer moms, you know, you're a soccer mom. But like, you know, everything starts with M, it seems like, you know, maternity and like, you know, motherhood and all of these things which didn't make sense to me. And I think the word, like the pronoun she also didn't really fit. So I think there was a period where I was like, oh, they, you know, as in like default, they're sort of more fit within my experiences, non-binary and not really feeling this distinction, you know, between either male, female kind of distinction. But yeah, even that, like, it didn't seem like I wanted to decide that either. It didn't really make the whole spectrum of the options just seemed limiting. But I'm curious why sort of E-M-er pronouns kind of appeals to you, AC.
Well, E-M-er.
Yeah.
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 Because it's just like cutting off the first letter and second letter of he, him, she, her, et cetera, et cetera, or even they, them, blah, blah, blah. It's just cutting it off and it's getting rid of it. And when I think about it, I think they, them, and maybe the same for you, it really worked for me when I was questioning stuff. And this is for me, it's like they, them is what you use when you don't know somebody's gender. If you're like, oh, I found their wallet on the ground, I'll have to try and get hold of them, et cetera, et cetera. That's a way of saying I don't know what the gender is. And I think for me, it's like I'm just moving to this place where it's like, no, I'm really, like, this isn't me being going through a phase. I'm not, like, questioning stuff. It's like I'm very settled in being a non-binary person. And that's brought me into this sort of, thinking about, I'll have to work on it, though. E-R-M.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It just struck me that we're moving from the two binaries, you know, systems of pronouns to a third one, which feels amazing and liberating. But like, it would be awesome to be able to really expand that to the whole world of gender pronouns.
I think that's a really good point. Like, we don't just want to establish like a tertiary system instead of a binary system and just have like, okay, now we have a third gender and we're like establishing yet another strict gender role that needs to be overcome by a, you know, another set of people. Like,
It almost also I wonder whether it's, is it a difference between like gender, this is air quotes, neutral, like, as in sort of neutralizing, almost like invisibilizing the gender versus like gender creation? Is that kind of what you're getting at? As in sort of creating more within the spectrum of gender with our language rather than making it kind of a blank?
I think it's like creating language to better reflect gender, because I think the gender just, I don't know, it's just out there. Like, there's so much gender in the world, and there's also like agender as well, which I feel also what's the word?
Affinity with?
Affinity with. Yeah. At times, more strongly and less at other times. And it's like, there's just so much gender out there that, yeah, going from binary to tertiary, as you say, it's just not going to cut it. We need to just, like, let's blow this thing up. But we talked about, in the lead up to this, you were talking a bit about gendered language over different languages. Yeah. And I'm really keen to hear more about that.
Yeah. So English is the language I grew up speaking. Both my parents, English is their common language, but I've always been fascinated by languages other than English, and I've learned a bunch, and my cultural history has a couple of languages in it as well, Tamil and Sinhala, which I speak to lesser extents, but even in my family there's other languages in my home family as well. And I've experienced just like moments of learning the differences between English and other languages. So I'll just give you a couple examples and maybe we can bounce off those. So so for example, with pronouns, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the tertiary in English. Well, there's other languages that already have a tertiary sort of system, potentially. And then others that, you know, don't have sort of a gender neutral language. So, you know, Mandarin would have ta for both. They just have one personal pronoun for the secondary person. You refer to like them, or there's no other word. I'm struggling with translation, it's already hard. but yeah, well, giving a personal experience for when I traveled to meet my mates in Croatia, and I met a bunch of their friends, and I had a baby with me then, and everyone asked me, you know, oh, what's her name, because the word baby, the noun baby, has like a feminine form in Croatian, and so that's and people just could ask, you know, what's her name. They didn't mean anything about the gender of the child. It was a sentence that they could just say, whereas in English we don't have that sentence. You can just say, people often find themselves having to say, oh, what is your baby, a boy or a girl? Because, and I think partly because they want to say, what is his name, or what is her name? And I feel like that gender neutral language is quite powerful, because it allows people to not really fixate on gender identity with all their interactions. They can just go, oh, what's their name, you know? And if that's like in the common parlance, I think that would be really cool if people just had that off the tip of their tongue, the way like in Croatian they'd say, you know, what's her name. Like, they don't really mean anything about the gender of a child, and that seems kind of empowering. But then it also led me thinking, like, the languages I am familiar with, say, because I was thinking about Mandarin a lot, and then I realized, hang on, Sinhala, which I'm more familiar with, has the same kind of neutral thing. You would say, mama, oya, ea, like, them, you know, whoever. And I was like, hang on, that doesn't really free you at all. Like, it's the gender constructs, even though language like is part of it. Like, it's a social structures that kind of bind, if the language has those social structures embedded in it more, then you have to like break the language to have the language work for you. Does that make sense?
And before we were talking about breaking language and that idea of like, so being like, my pronouns. There was a while when I was like, people like, what gender are you? Like, I'd have these discussions with people and I'd be like, I really like, my gender is tofu for a while, and my gender was like my flannel shirt. Like,
that's a strong gender, I think.
I think so too. Yeah, I really like that. I reckon tofu is really non-binary. Like, it can be sweet, it can be sour. You can change the texture. It's just all kinds of things, And there was that real sense of just like dressing in gender every day. Yeah, but not if somebody off the street said to me what your gender is and I said tofu, it might not make sense without me having a 40-minute conversation with them. So I think, yeah, we talked about breaking, talking about it as a collective is how we use language in different creative ways.
Yeah, and I guess like the tofu gender is a really good example because like sometimes you might even have to discuss what is meant by gender to start off with without, let alone what tofu means, you know?
I mean, like gender is a word we've borrowed from French, right? And it kind of just means genre as well. Like it's just like a type of thing, like a horror movie or an action movie or a you know, a bio drama or whatever. Like, so already it started to describe a whole range of different like characters and flavors, and it's kind of just been boiled down to just these two, you know, supposedly sex-based categories.
Yeah,
it was, and it was so interesting when you were talking about having that language with a kid and then not having to like think about like not having the gender, not having to come into the conversation. It's almost like we get to this point and then you can't go any further until you know the gender of the person in order to continue speaking. It's really like,
yeah,
it has a hold of the language.
Yeah, it's just like pronouns. And there's a pragmatism about it as well. Like if you decide to kind of go, okay, let's not use pronouns, which we can just, you know, have and some people prefer no pronouns, right? So you'd be AC and you'd always be AC in the sentences. Your name would be, there'd be nothing, I mean, standing in the place of your name, which is what a pronoun is. It's something that stands in the place. So this is my cup. I'm going to lift it to my lips, you know? And I don't know about Australian sign language, but the little I know about New Zealand sign language is that pronouns are locations, you know, within space. So if you would say, you know, my friend, and you just point, and there's six potential spots outside your sort of the square of your face, like up to the left or up to the side or, you know, down to the left. And that would be the spot. And it's actually really efficient. And that's what we're trying to do with pronouns, to go, okay, this person or this concept I'm talking about, bloop, let me blop it in there. I'll blop it in. Now when I say it or whatever or the topic or whatever, then you know what the thing is, you know? And that's how we kind of build up language. And that's really useful as well, you know?
Yeah.
And having that ability to use pronoun is super useful. I don't know why I'm suddenly a big pronoun advocate.
Very pro-pronouns.
Pro-pronouns. Any anti-noun, anti-anti. People. But yeah, I don't know. It's sort of, there's this thing between your expression, self-expression, and then it's like similar to clothing, you know? How do you express within language? And then how are you read? And then what are the practical things? Like if I wanted to wear like a massive, you know, if I was a peacock, that would be difficult if I'm also trying to get through a small door. You know, it's just what I'm wearing might actually have practical impacts on what I'm able to do or how I'm able to move. And I think language has those things as well. But so it's like the politics and the practicality.
Do you think in that analogy, so your costume is your pronoun or potentially your gender, and is the door like society? Is that society's what society constructs for us to walk through?
Yeah,
especially to get places.
Exactly. I'll give an example. Like, there's a trend now and an expectation, I think, for a lot of organisations that they would ask all staff to put pronouns at the bottom of their signatures, which is really cool on one side, but the other side is like still very hard because for some people you might not have a fixed sense or you might have something that takes a bit more explanation or you have to now choose something and declare it, you know? And what's the effect of choosing and declaring on the workplaces you work within? Like do we now have to become like bastions of like educational sources for workplaces that might not be like they might have had some growth but not enough to safely support the workers who are being asked to essentially out themselves totally. Or hide further, you know? And that's kind of interesting to sort of, I'm going to talk about the implications of, yeah.
Yeah. Can we just do a public service announcement to
yeah.
all those wonderful cis allies out there who started off with, and now we're going to have a pronoun round, especially in a group of strangers. It just blows my mind the number of times where I walk into a group of like dozens of people who I don't know, and they're like, we're going to do a pronoun round. And I sit there and I think, cool, I'm either going to have to out myself as non-binary in this group, not knowing whether there's any other trans or non-binary people in the group, or I'm going to have to pretend to be cis. Like, you're just making me make a decision on the spot. And it's, yeah, it can be terrifying and it can just put you off balance for, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a great time. My preference is to be like, let's do an introductory round and share what you want to about yourself. And then for me, I'm reading the group and I can decide to say my pronouns or not.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, a lot of people say, like, share, you know, anything you think relevant. Mm. Might be about your pronouns or where you work or, you know, whatever
yeah.
it is. But, like, give people some options, you know. Like, I think it is important to normalize the process of, like, saying, these are my pronouns.
Mm.
Because, you know, there's a lot of cis people who just have no idea what it even is. They've forgotten.
They don't even know they're cis yet.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, so, like, there's, yeah. But there is this extraordinary burden on trans people in organisations to do this, like, educational labour, you know, and it's for our own, like, well-being. But, and it's often just because no one else is going to do it for us.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you more, AC, on that topic?
Okay, sure.
Like thinking of group situations, and think about you're considering EMEA.
Yes.
I don't know how far along it is progressed.
It's literally like last week. But right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. But let's go with it.
But imagine, like, you know, like what? How, like, do you think about those spaces when you consider your own pronoun choices?
Yeah, well, I think there is, and I think there is something that is happening a lot more, which is great, is people having, like, multiple pronouns. Like, you say any pronoun, and you also people who are like, yeah, they, them, or he, him, or whatever. And I think that's great. Like, and maybe that's where I'll take it. Maybe it's like they, them, or E, or M, whichever you are comfortable with using.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's where it's going.
That's interesting. So sort of the fact that a choice of pronouns is becoming more common is creating that space for less common pronouns to kind of get eased in by people who might want to try or might want to transition to a different pronoun. And you're sort of creating that conceptual space for that to happen in society.
Yeah, it's good. It feels good. And I think, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I've seen some really poor discourse on the internet about, is like about, you know, cis people, should they be allowed to use they, them pronouns or whatever? And I think, like, absolutely, everyone should have the opportunity to experiment like that and make it very normal that, like, I have different pronouns now, you know, I'm trying something out, you know, not only because, you know, that gives people the room to do the experimentation they do need to do to, like, potentially come out or whatever, but also, like, I think it's just a really fundamental part of breaking down really strict gender roles. It's like, it's okay, you know, if you're a cis guy and you want to be called they, them this week, that's absolutely fine, because we hate strict gender roles and we do not wish to uphold them. Like, yeah, and it feels weird that that's like a point that needs to be strenuously made sometimes.
Well, that's the whole interesting thing about language, right? Like, because language has power and it is a tool. And so there can be discussion of what should we use this language for. So you'd be advocating for they, them, perhaps, to be used to bust the binary, you know, and bust traditional binary concepts of gender, whereas others might say that they, them language might actually, the tool for that language, that purpose should be to make a safe space for people to express their non-binary identity, you know, and that's those are two quite different purposes and maybe oppositional. And that's kind of the thing about language is often we do kind of have these sort of unarticulated debates with how we use language because, you know, we all use the language that we choose for the purposes, whether we know it or not, for our own purposes. And we're kind of like trying to have this negotiation of can sometimes feel like which one's winning, you know? Yeah. And maybe it doesn't matter because, well, it's harder in the internet context of the internet because it's global, you know? Whereas if you have like smaller communities of language, there's not a sense, like you could kind of accommodate a plurality of purposes for our words. Whereas like sometimes on the internet, it feels like you have to choose what are we going to use this language for? We've got to have this consensus, a global consensus on the language.
Which itself is a reproduction of like binarism, right? It's like it's either this or it's this. Mm. And it can't be a quantum both kind of situation. It has to be, you know, and I think like the interview we had earlier today with Keith Quayle, he was talking about how like in the prison, you know, colonially, the division of gender is there to create, you know, like all of what colonial thought does is like strict categories to then rank in a hierarchy, you know? And so, yeah, all the more for this kind of quantum both and kind of approach.
I think Schrodinger's gender.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Schrodinger.
Gender is possibly dead.
Yeah. If we start talking about gender and we can learn about gender. Yeah.
I guess we don't want to observe gender to find out. I don't know.
But it's really beautiful to be back at 3CR and to have the space and to be around people. I just met Tilda today, who's an amazing human being, done an incredible job on today's broadcast.
Yeah, she's festooned the station.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't actually. I came in and I was like this. Okay, well, I was going to do that this morning. Oh, whoops. They'd already done it.
I think it was to be Sassy festive. From the...
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sassy from behind closed doors, but also Karina as well.
Yeah.
Was running around, so thanks.
Yeah. But let's just do it for 3CR. Like, we can broadcast, let's create a community of language which is just like screwing over colonial constructs and categories and the idea that you have to have a category that you tick. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, I think that's a really good note to end on because this is the formation of language, right? It happens with the formation of ideas. And I reckon if you sort of hang out with kids, which I happen to do a lot at the moment, having three at home, you can really see how society shapes ideas and how our environment shapes language in that basic kind of sense. So, yeah, I think having like vats of experience that we can tap into that build different communities of language and thoughts. It's good. Shout out to 3CR. I think it's time to wrap up.
No.
Let's do a little end song. It's over.
That was unpronounceable.
Unpronounceable.
Pronounceable.